Today's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, starting at chapter 5, verse 21, and going through to chapter 6, verse 9. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but, like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favouritism with him. May the Lord bless this reading to us.
I think I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking that Paul is sexist. And maybe after reading the letter to the Ephesians up to this point and heard all the wonderful stuff about love, you're thinking, oh dear, it's just fallen from a height today. I don't believe that Paul is sexist. I would suggest that we start looking at this passage right at the very end, where it says that in God, well, in my translation, it says there is no favoritism. In older translations, it says that God is no respecter of persons. God is not interested in people's status. Now, in that society, there was a lot of privilege. You were privileged if you were male. You were privileged if you were a parent. You were privileged if you were a slave owner. You were privileged if you were a Roman citizen. And in the culture that Paul had grown up, you were privileged if you were a Jew. When it says that God is no respecter of persons, in today's language, I would say God does not respect privilege. We've heard a lot recently about that. We've heard a lot about white privilege, something that all of us who are white need to think deeply about how the way society has been set up to favour us, sometimes very obviously and sometimes not so obviously. And the Baptist Union has recently published a document bringing together a lot of reflections after the Black Lives Matter movement of last year and everything to do with George Floyd. It's a very interesting document, and it does point out how easily white people miss the privilege that they have. So Paul here is talking to privilege, and he's saying to people who are privileged, you need to use that privilege very carefully indeed. That's what I believe is going on when he talks to husbands and wives. Paul has already said that the Christian life is about laying your life down. We looked at this verse last time, that we are to follow God's example, to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus Christ, we believe the most privileged person anyway, decided to give that up and to become nothing. So what Paul says in general to the church, he says in particular now to husbands, because they are in that position of privilege, that they are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. And he talks about the way the husband is meant to promote the interests of the wife. This was deeply challenging in their culture. It's deeply challenging in us as well, wherever we find ourselves in a position of privilege. Paul says that it goes back to the book of Genesis, to the creation story. And Paul stresses something that Jesus stressed as well, although this is often missed, that the original plan for marriage was that it was the husband who would leave his father and mother and would cleave to his wife. The way we've traditionally acted it out in church services is the other way around. The wife or the woman leaving her father and being given away. Paul says, no, it's not like that at all. Husbands, you find yourself, he says, in this position of privilege. Your job is to give that privilege away. Your job is to lay your life down. And when he talks to wives and he tells wives to submit to their husbands, it's an example of how he wants us all to behave when we are not in a position of privilege. Paul isn't saying that the privilege is a good thing. He's telling them how to live within it. Submit to one another. He says, not just wives to husbands. Husbands should be submitting to wives as well. He said, this is the revolution. This is the change that God is bringing about. This is what God is starting through Jesus. So why does he tell wives in particular to submit? I'll tell you what I think the answer is. It goes back to what we read last time. That being a Christian is about light shining in darkness, and we are not to use the methods of darkness. Paul in chapter 4 and going into chapter 5 gives us a whole load of instructions as to how we are to live. This is how the light shines, he says. He says, wives, you are in this non-privileged position, but let your light shine within it. That's how he believes the world is going to change. And he talks about children and parents as well. Yes, he says parents do have a rightful authority over children. It's their job to bring them up. But he stresses they are to bring them up in the Lord. They are to bring them up in ways that befit Jesus. They are to bring them up to teach them to be like Jesus. And he says, I think above all, parents, don't exasperate your children or don't make them angry. Paul writes these words not because he wants to create privilege, but because he wants to undermine it. Paul says to those who believe in Jesus, it's time to behave differently. It's time to believe that love wins. It's time to believe in the victory of Jesus, which looked as if it was a tragedy, but turned out to be the most glorious victory anyway. And today we believe in the Jesus who said, love one another as I have loved you. And as Paul puts it elsewhere in one of his letters, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. All of us, no matter who we are, no matter what our status is. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And in saying that, Paul abolishes everything that was in the law he'd received that said that men and women and slave and free, and Jew and Gentile were to be treated differently. Brothers and sisters, we are here to believe in the love of God. We are here to put that into practice in all our relationships. That is how the light of God shines. May it shine in our lives.